Thank you, Hillary. A reminder of why we are here and what we do here. Would you take a moment with me and bow your head, please? I could use a bit of prayer. Father God, we rest in your embrace. The grace that is you. And we ask that you be present as our cornerstone.
Thank you.
That you be everything that
she picked the song technically, so
we so desperately need for you to be in our lives.
And we ask that this morning as we worship together, that you be present, not just in words, God, not just in this place, but in our hearts and in our minds. And help us to hear you. Yeah. We pray these things in your name. Amen. I have thoroughly enjoyed the worship service this morning. The mixture of old and new, challenge and rest. Let me challenge you with one more oldie. This is my story. This is my song.
Amen.
We are in the book of Ruth, and we have gotten to the place where we are well acquainted with this young woman. In fact, we know that she is a widow. For all intents and purposes, right now, this woman is also an orphan. She has left her land and her gods, albeit for very good reasons, and that leaves her as a woman without a country. She is a burden on her community, on her family, and on her society. We see her as a poor woman with no man, no future, no family. She is left to take care of her poor, miserable mother-in-law. She has no resources, no support. This is her story. And so here she stands. At the end of chapter 3, she is told to wait on Boaz, that he will take care of everything. I don't know about you, but I'm not particularly good at waiting. I don't like doing it. In fact, if I'm in the grocery store, I'll pick the shortest queue. I'll look for ways to get around the long line. There was no way around this long line. In the middle of summer, in the burning heat, this line seemed to never go down, and I waited for my turn to go down the big slide. I'm still waiting for my turn to go down the big slide, because I had to let the little children go first. And they waited in this line, and at the front of the line, the two people that are in charge of making sure that everybody is safe, they had to do whatever they could to make sure that everybody was happy in line. When you're standing in the heat and you're waiting for your turn down the two-second slide, it might look like playing games. It might look like being sprayed down with a hose pipe. It might look like standing in the water and moving around a little bit so that you don't get quite as hot, or as one very inventive young man decided to cool himself off by lathering more and more sunscreen on himself. Waiting for that moment when he got to slide down the slide, all oiled up. It was a sight to see. What are you waiting for? What have you been waiting for? Can you identify with Ruth as she waits for Boaz to take care of everything? Naomi assures Ruth that at the end of this day, she will belong to Boaz. He will not rest until the situation is taken care of. At the end of this day, Ruth will belong to Israel. At the end of the story, Ruth will belong to the genealogy of Jesus. The lineage of David is continued through her. The kingdom will never end because of her contribution. Is this the reward Pastor Manny was talking about when he said the all-in risk is worth it? But all-in can be scary. All-in can be really scary. When we, as a family, decided to move to the United States, we recognized that we had to be all-in. And that meant that we had to sell everything that my parents had spent a lifetime accumulating. All those special toys, all those really significant stuffies, we had to either pack them, get rid of them, or sell them. Now, I want you to think for just a moment. If you had to boil everything down that is really important to you, your spouse, and two of your children, could you fit everything in to 8 suitcases? All in meant everything inside of 8 suitcases for us. All in was incredibly scary and intimidating. So we packed our 8 suitcases, and we packed ourselves, and we moved into the unknown. All in, ladies and gentlemen, takes courage, it takes faith, and it takes dependence. But there is no wonder in my mind about why Ruth is willing to wait. You see, Ruth is not the shrinking violet. She is no wallflower. She is the strong one. She is the mover and the shaker, the motivated one. Perhaps a biblical, unsinkable Molly Brown. She knows what she wants, and she moves in that direction. How do I know this? Because Moabite women have a reputation. You might remember the story of Balaam and his donkey, but do you remember the part at the end of the story? Balaam cannot curse Israel, so it is the Moabite women who decide to take matters into their own hands, and they seduce the Israelite men. This Moabite woman has a reputation. She comes from a long line of strong and willing to do what needs to be done women, and they are known for displaying their strength and devotion. Ruth displays her strength and devotion when she refuses to leave Naomi and continue with her kinsman, Orpah. But it is as interesting as in most stories that I find interesting, it is the details that really tip you off to what's going on here. Ruth's devotion to Naomi is not just filial piety. Ruth's devotion to Naomi means that she is all in. She is sold out on Naomi, on Naomi's God, and on Naomi's people. I have to wonder how that happens. You see, Naomi and Elimelech and their two sons, they choose to forsake their God. They choose to forsake the promised land. They look across the Dead Sea, they see these rolling hills of Moab, and they say, that grass has got to be greener than this side. And they go. It is not because they, like Abraham, are following God's call. It is because they have decided that whatever they can eke out of the Moabite soil is going to be worth more to them than living under God's protection. They weren't the key witnesses that we want them to be of who God is. It was not their intention to pursue a Moabite woman and bring her into the fold of Israel. So I wonder, how did Ruth end up being all in for a God that she did not know? Did it happen while they were cooking a traditional Israelite meal, while she was learning customs of these strangers that she now found herself a family, a part of their family? How did it happen? Was it in the silent witness that this woman didn't know that she was giving? Part of me wonders whether it was overt or whether it was one of those nebulous God things. But clearly, Ruth was open. And at some point, Naomi was willing to share. And the logistics bother me less than the fact that it is clear that by the time Naomi and Ruth arrive in Bethlehem, Ruth may be a Moabite by birth, but she is an Israelite by choice. And Israelite Ruth does everything that her mother-in-law asks of her. Everything that Naomi could expect of a good Israelite daughter-in-law, Ruth is willing to do. She is obedient, but she is strong. Although she is a stranger in this land, she quickly adopts the customs and seems to fit in seamlessly. She is a part of this community. This community that has the resources, the laws, and everything they need to take care of Naomi in good style. But this community does not seem to want to ante up. Whatever Naomi asks of Ruth, Ruth does. She's the breadwinner in the family. She is consistent, she is faithful, and she is dependable. We know this because she consistently and dependably goes to the field to glean. We know that she is faithful because she doesn't cause any trouble in that field. That's quite a feat for a foreigner. And this leads Boaz to eventually ask the question, who does she belong to? During this time of early harvest, he's still getting to know who the regulars are and what they are about on his land. And he asks this question, and I wonder who indeed Ruth is. Ruth would probably tell us that she belongs to the family of Naomi and Elimelech. Naomi is likely to tell us that Ruth is her family and belongs to her heart. But I would like to suggest to you today that Ruth belongs to God. It is evident in her character. We see that in her commitment to Naomi. We see that in her commitment to God, the God of Israel. And we see that in her integrity. She belongs to a God of consistency and dependability. She's faithful. Quite a testament, like I said, for an immigrant from a godless land, destitute and vulnerable. When Boaz asks who does she belong to, he's not really asking who she is. He's asking more than what is her name. He's asking about who she is, what her character is like, because he has noticed something different about her. He has recognized holiness in her. He is intrigued. And I wonder whether he realizes that this little question will lead him to the most faithful woman in Israel. Please recognize, Ruth could have had his pick of any woman in Bethlehem. He was wealthy, he was driven, he was respected, he was admired. Why does he show interest in Ruth? Because he notices what we can only surmise is the presence of the Holy Spirit in this woman. She is committed and faithful to the one true God. Who does she belong to? She belongs to God. Ruth seems to know clearly that God is leading in her life. For a Moabite, she has the faith of Abraham to follow God wherever he leads with all of her heart. She has the unwavering commitment of one who has experienced salvation. She lays all of that at the feet of Boaz and says, "Now, what will you do?" Do you get that? Her salvation, her redemption, her beloved family, her very existence, she lays at the feet of someone else. And she stands back and says, "Now what will you do?" This strong, capable, faithful woman makes a powerful move. She puts her well-being and that of her most precious family in the hands of someone else. Yes, that can be construed as submission, as weakness, as dependence. But it is, in fact, the most faithful and confident thing anybody can do. To give up self in order to experience salvation, to submit in order to experience true freedom and ultimate abundant life. That takes strength. Ruth's journey leads her from a place of comfort and everything that she knew to the unknown, to the little respected place of Israel. And through all of her experience, she is strong and she is faithful, loyal, and dependable. But when she is faced with the prospect of true salvation, she is also strong enough to realize that she needs. And willingly and happily she puts her fate in the hands of one who has already proved himself benevolent. Boaz, in Israel, is perhaps Ruth's only equal in faith, devotion, and strength. I want you to think for a minute, where are you in this story? Are you Naomi, bitter about having to return? Are you Ruth, confident in a new beginning in your faith? Or are you a Bethlehemite, watching and waiting to see how it plays out? Are you Boaz, making a new path? Or are you the narrator, telling the story of someone else? Ladies and gentlemen, this story is not just a story about a girl and a boy. This is a story about God's big story. It is a part of the story of how much God loves Israel. No, how much God loves you and me. And he is willing to do anything and everything to redeem us. It is also a contemporary story of you and I and our God. It is a story of how much God has given to make the deal that allows us to be redeemed by him. He is our Goel, our kinsman redeemer by choice. Ruth's all-in move results in a story that becomes part of this community's story. The minion at the gate ratify the deal made with a sandal, and they bless this union with the words that are reserved for Israelites, for believers. Ruth is not just a rider on this legal document, an extra, if you please. She is a full-fledged speaking part. The witnesses say, may the Lord make this woman coming into your home like Rachel and Leah, who built up the nation of Israel. In other words, may she have many children, not just one son. May you have standing in Ephrathah and be famous in Bethlehem. May you have everything that you have and then some. And may the Lord give you the descendants by this young woman who will be like those of our ancestor Perez, the son of Judah and Tamar. Why? Because Perez is credited with making Judah who it is. This tribe is famous. This tribe is second to none because of Perez. These are the things that the witnesses wish for Boaz and Ruth. So let me ask you this. What is holding you back from being all in? What prevents you from trusting wholeheartedly in the one who has already been so benevolent to you? Why do you resist your birthright of a full-fledged speaking part in God's big story? And James 1 verse 18 tells us, he chose us to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. Our God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Ruth, stands at the door. And he has already signed the contract, handed over the sandal. He has redeemed you. You are his heir, his joy, his heart. Why don't you join Ruth in singing? This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior.